Hello, everyone. Hi, Jim. Thank you. That was lovely. happy, I'm going to call it dark Sunday evening because it's just 5:01 p.m. here, but it's already dark. But as we know, this is the time of year that the days are the shortest. So it gets dark very, very early. Within a few months, it will be light in the evening again. As Len mentioned, I'm here to share from the teachings of Inner Ramana. And tonight I'm reading a message from page 75 called Extinguishment of the I Thought. Or it could also be called Extinguishing the I Thought. That word extinguishment is a little weird. before I go in and read, I'm going to just take a couple of moments. Oops. I just had a pop-up. I want to make sure you guys can still hear me. Maybe not. Let me let go of the mic. Can you hear me now? Can anybody hear me? All right, leaving the room and coming back. Hi, can you hear me now? Is there any sound? Yes. Okay, good. At least Lynn can hear me. I was just about to take some silence anyway. So why don't we go into silence and then we'll see if y'all can hear me when we come back. All right? Amen. While I was in silence, it came to my mind something that Jim said, and the thought to comment on it. So I see he's already gone, but one of the things that Jim said was something like, if we choose peace and we choose joy, we take peace or joy wherever we go. And at one time, I used to think that statements like that meant that if I choose peace or I choose joy, it should affect others and they should become peaceful and joyous. And then if that didn't happen, I would lose my peace because other people were still choosing, you know, to be grumpy or whatever. Since then, I've realized that, at least for me, a better interpretation of that type of statement, if you choose peace and joy, you take it with it wherever you go. What that really means is, no matter where I go, no matter what I experience, I only know peace and joy. And that's a much more helpful interpretation for me. In fact, it seems to me what's happening is that this path is getting more and more and more narrow and easier. And what I mean by that is, in the beginning, the spiritual path was wide in that I was learning lots of things. Maybe that's all I need to say. I felt like I was learning lots of things, all of which were helpful, but it was wide. I was learning lots of things. And now it seems the path is very, very narrow in that all I have to do is remain open, or all I have to do is stay with peace, or all I have to do is stay with joy, no matter what. And so it's very, very narrow. There's not a lot to learn. There's not a lot to think about. It's like one thing, and it's so simple. Very narrow and very easy. So that's what came to me in my little bit of silence. We're going to read Extinguishment of the I Thought, again, from the teachings of Inner Ramana, page 75. Inner Ramana says, when I say I am you, I speak the truth. And yet, I am not you as you know you in your thinking. This you, which you call me, is the idea that must be extinguished if you are to know me as you. Those words are kind of funny because it uses the word me in more than one way. But of course, what Inner Ramana is saying is whenever the word me, if I say the word me, and it really refers to Regina Dawn Akers and no one else, that use of the word me is pointing to the false I thought. And that me needs to be extinguished or let go of or transcended or no longer believed in order to realize I'm going to call it right now the universal me. Same word, me. Same word, I. You know, it's like Muji said once, I heard Muji say once, you know, the devil says I, and God says I. Where are you on that continuum when you say I? So the language itself doesn't change, but what the word points to, what the word me means, what the word I means, changes. In fact, I remember at one point I noticed that when I write especially, I use I, we, and you interchangeably. No difference in the meaning. And sometimes when I'm proofreading, I'll notice even like right in the middle of the sentence, I may have said, when we watch our mind, you know, blah, 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 and then right in the middle of the same, I can't think up a sentence right now, but right in the middle of the same sentence, I then switch to using the word I. And the we and the I are the same. Or I might say you. And sometimes I edit that when I'm posting. Before I click on post, I'll edit it to be a little more consistent with either word, the word we or the word you or the word I, because it might be confusing to read when I go back and forth between them. But for me, going back and forth between them is very natural because they really have that same meaning. We, you, I, it's the same universal mind, whether I'm talking about the right mind or the wrong mind. I see the right mind as also, I see the wrong mind also as universal now. I do not think that you have ideas in your mind that I do not have in my mind. I see all wrong-minded ideas also as universal. So for me, I, we, and you are synonymous, you know, and sometimes you can tell when that's not true for other people. Although I don't really recall anybody commenting on my posts like this. I have seen other people maybe use the we word or the you word, and somebody will say something like, you know, speak for yourself, you know, don't include me in that. But naturally, the truth is we are included in that, whether the word is I, or whether the word is we, or whether the word is you, because there is no difference. There is no difference. And the idea that there is a difference between my mind and your mind, between me and you, that's the idea that needs to be let go. That's the false I thought. So when I say, this is Inner Ramana speaking, when I say I am you, I speak the truth. And yet I am not you as you know you in your thinking, meaning I am not this individual separate self that you believe yourself to be. This you, which you call me, when you refer to yourself, you call it me, is the idea that must be extinguished if you are to know me, the universal me, as you. Right? When I say the idea of you, must be extinguished if you are to know me. Many ideas run through your mind, none of which are true. Let's look at these ideas now. So, the ideas that are about to be looked at, I could say were ideas in my mind. But I'm sure these ideas have appeared in other minds as well. Because again, the same ideas appear to all of us at one point or another. Because even the wrong mind is universal. And so what we're going to look at now are some ideas that appear in the wrong mind when we begin to realize that we're letting go of the individual self. And these ideas, of course, are ideas of resistance to that. When I say that you must be extinguished in order to know me, you think this will take a long time to do. This is not true. So how many of us have seen that idea that awakening is going to take a long time? And most of us probably feel individually, awakening is going to take a long time for me. You know, like at some point we feel like, you know, it's me. I'm the one that can't do this. I'm the one that's going to take a long time for the awakening to happen. But when we find out how many of us have had that same thought, that it seems to be a very personal thought, it's going to take me a long time. But then if we were all in a room and we could all raise our hand, who's had that thought? We'd see it's not a very personal thought because pretty much everybody's thought it. So I just want to make sure y'all can hear me again. Strange things are happening on my screen. So if someone would just let me know just one little why. I can hear you. Okay, great. Thank you. So it's not a personal thought. We think it feels very personal. You know, it's going to take me a long time to awaken. And when we have that thought, it feels very, very personal. And in fact, what it does is it strengthens the idea of personal. But if we find out how many other people have had that thought, we realize it's not a personal thought. It's a universal, wrong-minded thought. You see, even the wrong mind is one. Even the wrong mind has limited thoughts that appear to all of us. When I say that you must be extinguished in order to know me, you think this will take a long time to do. This is not true. This is not true because the you that is being extinguished is only an idea. And the I that I am is living truth in any moment, and then again in every moment. An idea can be extinguished so that living truth can be known. One thing that I thought was really interesting about this particular paragraph is that, again, it pointed out that I was thinking in time. I was thinking of something that I would call permanent enlightenment that lasts over time. And that idea of a permanent enlightenment that lasts over time includes the idea of time in it. And I thought anything less than a permanent enlightenment that lasts over time would not be enlightenment. But I realize now that idea itself is a mistake. And in fact, it seems to me as I'm sitting here that Byron Katie mentions this in A Thousand Names for Joy. I don't think I can find that real quick, but I'm going to open up this book and see if I can. It seems like she says something about this in A Thousand Names for Joy as well, about enlightenment. If I find this, it will be an absolute miracle. Let's see. No, I'm not going to find it. I didn't think so. I don't know this book that well. But I thought I would look really quickly and see if it jumped out at me. It seems like she talks about it in this book as well. She talks about how enlightenment is something that occurs in the moment. Always in the moment. So in any moment when I am clear, for lack of better words. In any moment when I am clear, when I am not thinking about an individual self, not attached to the right, to the wrong mind, in that moment, I am enlightened. Now, in the next moment, you know, if some thought comes in the wrong mind and I attach to it, well, then in that moment, I may not be enlightened. But I can always choose to be enlightened again immediately as soon as I see that I have slipped. She presents that. She presents that. And that seems to be what Inner Ramana is saying here too. Notice Inner Ramana says, when I say that you must be extinguished in order to know me, you think this will take a long time to do. This is not true. This is not true. Because the you that is being extinguished is only an idea. And the I that I am is living truth. And then listen to this sentence. In any moment, and then again in every moment, an idea can be extinguished so that living truth can be known. In any moment, and then again in every moment, an idea can be extinguished so living truth can be known. Now, some people may call this practice, but what Inner Ramana seems to be implying, and what I also have seen Byron Katie imply, is that if we are truly focused on that practice, truly focused on, however you would word that, staying in the heart, staying in the right mind, staying open, that we can be enlightened now in this moment, and that that's all that matters. And so so if I notice that I have wandered off from that enlightenment, I just make the choice to return. Now again, some people may not call that enlightenment. Some people may have the idea that I used to have, that enlightenment needs to be something permanent over time. But it seems like there must be some kind of a mistake whenever the idea of time is involved in the idea of enlightenment. So yeah, we can all choose it now. And choose it again now. And choose it again now. And maybe at some point what dies is the need to choose. Maybe at some point it's naturally now. But we can be enlightened now through choice. It doesn't have to take a long time. Do you see the message? Yeah, it becomes automatic. Until then, we choose it. But we don't have to wait to be enlightened. Inner Ramana does say, it is true that if you are not finished with an idea, the idea that you desire can be reborn again in any moment, but it can also be extinguished once again in any moment that you choose to put the false I aside and know the living truth. So maybe it's a bit of a dance at first, but it's a dance that we're all capable of dancing. Inner Ramana continues, so as you see, it does not take time to extinguish a false identity. It only takes the desire to know living truth now. That's all it takes, not time. It only takes the desire to know living truth now. Another idea that crosses your mind when I say you must extinguish you to know me is that this will be difficult. This is not true. And again, that's another idea that I'm guessing many of us have seen in our minds. Maybe we still have this belief in our mind right now that awakening, enlightenment is going to be difficult. And not only that, it probably, once again, feels like a very personal thought. The thought probably isn't simply that it's going to be difficult, it's that it's going to be difficult for me, for this person, right? It feels like a very personal thought. It feels like it applies very much to a me. But if we were all in a big room together and we asked how many people have seen this thought, I wouldn't be surprised if everyone raised their hand. And then we'd see it's not a personal thought. It is a universal, wrong-minded thought. Because the wrong mind is also universal, right? There's no such thing as an individual mind. There are only thoughts that have that feel about them. They feel very personal. But it's not true. It's still a universal mind. If you look at the idea, this will be difficult, you will see it is only an idea. If you hold up the idea and shout that it's true, you are attached to the idea because you are holding to it. But if you let go of the idea, it will go away. The idea has no life, and so it can have no attachments. This idea is not attached to you. You are attached to it. If you let it go, it will go. Because an idea cannot have a desire on its own that will cause it to stay. This idea that it's difficult. This idea that I can't. If you listen to the NTI audios, you might have heard me talk about this, I think, in the very last NTI class that we had here in Pueblo. This idea that I can't feels like a very personal idea. It feels like solely like it's speaking a fact about me. But it is only a thought. And the one who's holding to that thought is me. It's not a fact. I'm believing it like it's a fact, but it's not a fact that it's difficult. It's not a fact that I can't. It's an idea. It's a wisp of air. I mentioned at the beginning of this teaching time today that it seems to me that the path is getting very, very, very simple. Because all there is, in fact, this goes back to the first thing in a Ramana taught today, all there is choosing to stay open now. All there is choosing purpose now. All there is choosing to be awake now. And of course, a lot of that isn't really even choosing anymore because it's natural. But at one moment when something appears to get stuck and for a moment it doesn't feel natural, it's just making the choice again. That's all there is to this spiritual path. And that's not difficult. The idea that it's difficult is a lie. The idea that I can't is a lie. And if we believe that idea, then certainly we have that apparent experience that there's no truth to it at all. And what Inner Ramana is saying, you're the one holding on to the idea I can't. You're the one holding on to the idea it's difficult. What happens for many of us is we draw lines in our life. We say, I can be happy or I can be at peace up until, and then we draw this line. But if that happens, I can't. Who made that rule? Who decided I can't be happy with that? I can't be happy if my husband leaves. I can't be happy if this body is sick. I can't be happy if I get fat. I can't be happy if I have no money and can't pay my bills. Who decided that? We put these limits upon ourselves. So what Inaramana is saying about the idea this is difficult, or the idea I can't, at any point where we draw the line and we say, I can't be happy with that, I can't be at peace with that, those are also just ideas we've picked. And it's easy if you want to see that it's just an idea, it's easy because if you look, you'll find someone somewhere that is in the exact circumstance that you said you couldn't be happy with, and they're happy. You'll find someone whose husband left them, and she just giggles and says, yes, that's true. Byron Katie is one. Her husband left her. You know, and then she just laughs. Yeah, that's true. She jokes if she wants to hear how horrible she is, she calls him on the phone, you know, but she laughs. She's happy. You know, Peace Pilgrim was penniless and homeless and happy. Muji's not the skinniest guy on the planet Earth. And he's happy. So these rules that we make about how things need to be in order for us to be happy, we make them up. And they're just ideas. And they only limit us. And it just doesn't make sense to do that. So we need to make the choice to let go of those ideas. Now, Inaramana continues, it is true that if you are not finished with this idea, it will return to you. But if you can let it go once, you can let it go again. And in any moment that you are not holding to the idea, you can make the decision immediately to put aside the I thought, go into your heart and join with me. So if I see that idea arising again, oh, this is so difficult, I'll never be able to do this. I just look at it and say, ah, there's that idea again. Take a deep breath, put aside the idea that it's difficult. Relax for a moment. Take another breath. Maybe this time it doesn't need to be quite as deep. And choose to return to the heart, maybe using the mantra as a tool. The idea that it was difficult was just an idea. The only obstacle in my way was my own thought. Inaramana says, know yourself as your heart, and you know me. It's that simple. Another idea that crosses your mind when I ask you to extinguish you in order to know me is that extinguishing you means death. And I wouldn't be surprised if this thought at some point has crossed all of our minds, that somehow this is the death of me, this awakening process. And at some point we may have felt fear, or we may still feel fear around that idea. Again, universal wrong mind. Another idea that crosses your mind when I ask you to extinguish you in order to know me is that extinguishing you means death. But when your mind is still and your attention is in your heart, are you dead? Are you dead, or are you aware? Are you dead, or are you aware of your heart, your love, and your desire? Are you dead? Or are you more aware of you than you were when you were thinking? And thinking the thinking was you. When we're lost in our head, and anybody who's had the experience, and I'm sure everybody here has, anybody who's had the experience of being deeply inspired, deeply in the heart, right? Deeply immersed in spirit or God, and then also had the experience of being lost in the head. Certainly you can compare those two and see which one really is the more alive feel. When you're lost in your head, you can eat an entire meal. My glasses just broke. We'll see if I can finish reading now. See if I can pop them right back in. The little, the, oh no, they're broken. Oh, they're really broken. Yeah, the rim is broken. So I might be able to pop the lens in temporarily, but it's not going to stay. So, but I can probably make it through the rest of this teaching. But I think I'm gonna have to go buy some new glasses. When you're lost in your head, as you know, you can eat an entire meal and not even realize what you just ate. You didn't taste it, you know, right? You just we can drive down the highway and not remember getting from A to B. How alive is that? But when you're deep in inspiration, that's an extremely alive feeling. So Inaramana is saying, where do you get this idea that letting go of the I thought, letting go of all of that thinking that comes from the I thought is death? You know better than that. You've had the experience yourself of being. My glasses are so funny right now. They're very crooked and they're pinching me on the nose. Oh my, I wonder what happened that made them suddenly break. And Ramana is saying, you know yourself the difference. You know, so that's another silly idea, this idea that you're going to be dead. You're not going to be dead. You're going to be much, much, much more alive. And you know it. And Ramana says, I say, I am having a little trouble seeing now. I say, you are not dead when you are aware of your heart and your love and your desire. You are dead when you are not aware of these things. Therefore, the you that exists through identification with thought is not the you that is life. Right? The you that is identified with thought is not the you that is living truth. And if that you that is identified with thought is not life, then extinguishing it cannot be death. To the contrary, it is the birth into life. And Jesus, remember, called it being born again. It is the birth into life because you have walked out of death into awareness of life again. You know, just repeating myself, but when we're lost in our heads, we don't even notice the life that is happening. That's actually death. To not be aware of life would be much more like death. So if we let go of that head, let go of all that I thinking, and become very, very aware of every experience in a very, very open way, now we're living. And that is life. Inner Ramana says, I am your teacher, and as your teacher, I will guide you to know what you already know. Move from your head to your heart, and know that although you cannot define what you have found, and you cannot describe it, and you cannot use it to identify and differentiate you from anything else, that voiceless voice and silent truth is your truth. And that is also the truth that I am. I think that's really interesting when he, you know, he talks about, again, when we do let go of the thinking of the mind and we sink deep into the heart, we're immersed in inspiration, we're very, very alive with our spiritual self. He says, of course, we can't really describe that to someone else. It's something that we know directly, but we can't ever find words to really tell someone else what that's like if they say they don't know it. We also cannot use it. If you are deep in that inspiration, there's nothing in that inspiration that is having a thought about being different about anything else, ever. You're not deep in inspiration and thinking about yourself as different than even an ant. It doesn't happen. You're not deep in inspiration and having thoughts about how you're different from your brother or your sister or your spouse or your children or your dog or the tree. Those thoughts do not exist in that inspiration. So you cannot find anything in that inspiration that will identify you or differentiate you from anything else. The inspiration just is, and you are just with it, or in it, or it. And that, in a Ramana, is saying what I am. Reminds me very much of this morning's teaching, where it talked about going into the river and getting wet, right? Wet is just wet. And that is the truth of what we are. But when we step away from that through judgment, through thinking, then we lose that sense. It seems to be gone from us. But actually, we've just buried it underneath all of the thinking. And so in any moment, we can choose to say, ah, I'm back into the thinking again. I see that. I'm going on and on about this thing. I'm going to take a deep breath. Maybe if I'm a student of Inner Ramana, I'm going to say the mantra, I am that I am. I might ask, what am I to do now? I feel something pulling me into the heart. I follow it there and I rest there. And now I'm back. Simple. Not difficult. Didn't really take a long time. It was just a matter of choice in the moment. It's like A Course in Miracles. To say you want the peace of God means nothing. To mean it is everything. And when do we mean it? Now. When else? There's no other time. I have to mean it now. Without condition. I think Jim Dunn was just talking about the same thing in a slightly different context, slightly different words, but I think it was the exact same message. And that's the end of that particular message in the teachings of Inner Ramana, extinguishment of the I thought. That moves us to the next message, which is called The Mind That Thinks It Is Lord. And it looks like I had a lot of questions in this particular message, a lot of dialogue going back and forth. So starting on page 79, I want to speak to you today of confusion, and I want to speak to you of clarity. For confusion will keep you turning in circles and chasing your tail, seeking but never catching what you seek. Clarity leads you easily, slowly, like gliding to the one goal that cannot be missed. So when I talked at the beginning of this hour about how the path has become narrow and simple, that must be clarity. Because if a path is very, very narrow, you know, I can't wander around and get too lost. It's going to lead me directly to the goal. So something that is narrow and simple must be clarity. And Ramana says, confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion. And without this one error, confusion is impossible. One thing that has become extremely natural for me, and I'm really grateful for it, is checking for intuition. I can feel so easily when something is right for me to say or do, or when something is not right for me to say or do. And it has nothing to do with anyone else, which is the amazing thing. You know, it's the thinking mind that says, you know, well, what if I say this and then so-and-so doesn't like it and they do that? You know, that's thinking. None of that thinking needs to happen in order for me to be tuned into my intuition, what I call my role. I only need to check within for me, and it's become very simple. I can feel that little yes or that little no so simply now. It's the easiest thing in the world. Where even if everyone else thinks that the action I took was wrong, if that is the judgment that comes from the world, I am certain within myself that I played my role perfectly. And in fact, I often call it that now. I played my role perfectly because there's not this strong attachment. I have a friend who felt a guidance to become a hospice nurse, or maybe it wasn't even a hospice nurse, but it was a nursing position. She felt this guidance to go apply for this nursing position. And so she went and she applied for the nursing position. And they didn't hire her. And she said, at first, these ideas came up into the mind. You have to hire me. It's my guidance to come here. And then she realized that hiring her would be their guidance. Whether to hire her or not was their guidance. Her guidance, which she felt was certain for her to do, right for her to do, was simply to apply. And I think sometimes that's where we get messed up with guidance, is we think that because I feel to do this, there should be some outcome. But I've let go of the idea of outcome. I've let go of it completely. I don't need to even think about outcomes. All I need to know is, what am I to say? What am I to do? It gets very, very simple. I know when to sit in a chair and do absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. Once upon a time, I couldn't do that because the whole time I was doing nothing, my mind would be telling me, oh, you shouldn't be doing this. You should do this. You should do this. Come on, you know. And now that has no effect anymore because I can feel I'm to sit here and do nothing. And so I know that's what I am to do. It doesn't matter if the to-do list has 50,000 things on it. What I am to do now is nothing. Just this morning we were joking in the kitchen. I was doing nothing. Danielle was putting away dishes and Jasmine was looking at Facebook on her phone. And, you know, they live with me, so they know me. And I looked at them and I said, I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do right now. And I said, Danielle, are you? And she said, yes. She was doing exactly what God wanted her to do right now. And I said, Jasmine, what about you? And she said, yes. So you see, God through me wanted to do nothing in that moment. God through Danielle wanted to empty the dishwasher. And God through Jasmine wanted to play on Facebook. And we all felt we were doing exactly what we were supposed to be doing. We were all in exactly the right place. And then a few moments later, all of a sudden my body jumped up and I realized God in me was going to put away a few dishes. And then I felt to sit back down and do nothing for a few minutes again. And then I jumped back up and I realized God in me was going to go make the bed. It's that certainty of every moment. And it's such a wonderful certainty. Without any judgment, without any idea of what others are supposed to be doing. You know, what if I thought that because God wants me to be doing nothing right now, Danielle and Jasmine should also be sitting and doing nothing. And if one is emptying the dishwasher and one is playing on Facebook, then they're not aligned with God. That's foolishness. We have those foolish ideas sometimes. Sometimes when a person feels really strongly that their role is to meditate every day, they also judge those who don't feel that. That's foolishness. My clarity, my intuition is for me. And if I really tune into it, I am absolutely certain of my role in every moment, and that's the only thing I need to be concerned with, and then open to everything else. Open to everyone else's role. Open to every other happening. So again, this paragraph said confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me, that intuition. Now, so the confusion I used to experience when those times would come to do nothing, literally just to sit, right? Not meditating or anything, it's doing nothing. That's what I'm talking about. I feel guided to do nothing. Just sit. And when that guidance would come before to just sit, confusion also had my mind, had my ear. Confusion would say, oh, but you can't just sit. If you're going to be sitting here, you at least should be meditating. Meditating is better than sitting. Or maybe you should be contemplating. Where's the seven steps? Go get the seven steps. Or you know what? Maybe you should go work. You know, there's this long, long list of work. You know, go and get that list of work. And you know, and I would start listening to that. And because I was listening to that, I was actually in confusion. Now Lynn is asking me, do you have thoughts as you sit? I'm going to try and answer that as best as I can. I don't have attachment to thoughts as I sit. Like I just now described, used to the way the thoughts, well, just sitting is nothing, you should at least meditate. You know, or maybe you should contemplate. If you can't meditate, you should contemplate. Or maybe you should just go, you know, get off your butt and go do some work. You got a lot of work to do, right? All that was confusion. That was listening to thoughts. I don't have that experience now. And the reason I don't have that experience now is because of the confidence that when I'm to sit, I'm to sit. I can't say that it's a completely thoughtless state, but it's also not a thinking state. There will be what I will call some very slow thoughts drifting by. Very, you know, it's not a rapid thinking process because I'm not into the head in that way. But there'll be some very slow thoughts kind of passing by and I'm not grasping onto them. In my primary experience, what I feel is what I'm going to call an inner glow, an absolute perfection of just sitting here. And there's no worry about how long it will be, whether it will be a minute or whether it will be an hour. It's just knowing that this moment is perfect. This moment. And the very next moment, it could be the stand and go make the bed. But I don't worry about the next moment. This moment, I'm to sit and it's perfect. See, I just did it. It's just sitting. So the moral of the story here is when we're caught up in our thinking, we're caught up in confusion. When we're listening to our intuition with confidence, we're in clarity. And the only thing that gets between you and clarity is believing your mind more. The only thing that gets between you and clarity is believing your mind more. When you're sitting and doing nothing, instead of realizing that God wants so much to do nothing right now through me, you listen to those thoughts that say, oh, you should be doing something. You're wasting time. That's confusion. Confusion comes from judgment. Do you hear the judgment in that? Or deciding or thinking one knows. You see in the idea, oh, you're just wasting time. Do you see how that's judgment? How that's deciding, I've made a decision, I'm wasting time? How that's thinking, I think I know I'm wasting time? Did it ever occur to me that right this second, God wants to do nothing through this body? And when you realize that, doing nothing is so wonderful. You know what else? When doing nothing ends and you're making the bed is so wonderful. In fact, there is nothing that is less than so wonderful. If you realize how perfect it is right now. If you realize this is what God wants to do through this body right now. and you don't have to understand it. So trying to understand it, that's getting back into the head again. That's going to lead back into confusion. No one's asking you to understand. Just follow. That's why it's called surrender. Just allow. So clarity is not believing the mind. Yes. Clarity is not thinking and not judging. Yes. Clarity is just being open to what is. Yes. You see why I call it simple? It's actually thinking and trying to figure stuff out. That's what's complicated. Not only that, it's impossible. You'll never figure everything out. But just being open, just being here now, just being with what you feel you are to do in this moment, that's easy. And wonderful. Now, Hina Ramana says, I ask you to look at this one paragraph written above and accept it deeply into your heart. Do not think about it. I don't read this paragraph and think about it, right? Just merely in peace and with love, accept what I say as true. Read the paragraph at least 5 times, silently accepting it before continuing. So why don't I do that? And you all do whatever you feel to do. If you have the book and you want to read along, do. If you want to sit back and relax with eyes opened or eyes closed, do. But I will read this paragraph 5 times. Confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion. And without this one error, confusion is impossible. Confusion comes from judgment or deciding, or thinking one knows, without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion. And without this one error, confusion is impossible. Confusion comes from judgment, or deciding, or thinking one knows, without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion. And without this one error, confusion is impossible. Confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion. And without this one error, confusion is impossible. Confusion comes from judgment or deciding or thinking one knows without checking with me. This is the core of all confusion. And without this one error, confusion is impossible. If we didn't think we know, if we didn't judge, if we didn't decide, we could not be confused. Without that, confusion is impossible. If we just felt intuitively where to be, what to do, what to say, and trusted it without thinking about it, without making decisions about it, we would live in clarity. If we were sitting and doing nothing, we would be absolutely certain sitting and doing nothing is what I am to do. No confusion about that. I know I'm in the right place, doing the right thing. And if we're getting up and putting away dishes or making the bed, then we know this is exactly where I'm to be. The only way, and you can pay attention to this in yourself, the only way that you think you are in the wrong place or doing the wrong thing or making a mistake is if you're thinking. Watch, you'll see it's true. If you're saying to yourself, I'm making the bed, but I really should be calling so-and-so. And you're feeling, even as you're making the bed, you're feeling that you're in the wrong place, doing the wrong thing, calling so-and-so would be so much better. Where is all of that conversation happening? And if that conversation wasn't there, in the head, could there be any feeling of anything other than making the bed is perfect now? See, it's only our thinking that gets in the way of having an experience of absolute clarity in every moment, even the simplest of moments. And Ramana continues, watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism. The questioning and doubting feature, which is a core mechanism within the mind, is a separation creation mechanism that keeps you blind to the truth. My friend Myron Jones told me a funny story about this paragraph. She said that when she read this message the first time, the mind that thinks it's Lord, and she read the paragraph just above this one that asks us to read the previous paragraph 5 times, you know, she thought, I don't really want to read that 5 times. That was her decision. I don't really want to read that 5 times. And so she went on to the next paragraph that said, watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. And she realized she just did that. The inner Ramana said, read the paragraph 5 times. And her mind said, nope, don't want to. Right? She says, ah, I just did that. I just judged inner Ramana's methods. I just decided I don't need to read that paragraph 5 times. And of course, do you know what she did then? She went back and read the paragraph 5 times. Do you see how quickly the thinking pops in? Very, very quickly. Yeah, and Kathy's saying she's not sure she gets this creation mechanism because of the word creation. This is, to me, one of the advantages of awakening together. Whenever any of us study one path, one theology, we get so caught up sometimes in the language and the way that theology presents itself that it's difficult when we're listening to another teaching, which is really the same, but it uses different words. What happens is our mind defines words, like the way that creation is defined in A Course in Miracles, that actually becomes a belief. Creation means something permanent. And it becomes a belief, and then if the word creation is used in a different way, there's confusion. But what's most helpful is to realize that words are just symbols. And of course, the Course says this, words are symbols of symbols, right? And so, believe it or not, what's most helpful is not to allow ourselves to define a word, to allow a word to be loose and open. Instead of having an I know mind, I know what the word creation means, or even I know what the word soul means, or I know what the word mind means, or I know what the word awareness means, don't make those decisions, really. And if we don't make decisions about what the words mean, then the words can be defined for us in the context of the current teaching. So practice letting go of believing that you know what words mean, even. It'll be very, very helpful. Now, in this particular sentence, when it says, well, let me just read this again. Watch the mind carefully. Notice how it wants to judge my words or judge my methods. Notice how it wants to choose against me and decide what is best for itself. That is the confusion mechanism, that questioning and doubting feature, which is the core mechanism within the mind, is the separation creation mechanism. So what that means in the sentence is you couldn't have an experience of creation if you didn't have that judging, deciding, I know, thinking mind. That's what it means. The experience could not exist without that mind. So that's what it means by separation creation mechanism. So when you let go of the strong attachment to that thinking, naturally what goes with it is the feeling of being separate. All right, so it's 6 o'clock, so I'll stop. We'll pick up this message where I'm leaving off tonight. We'll pick that up next week. And y'all have a great week. And for those of you who celebrate Christmas, this is the week. So have a very Merry Christmas. Great love. Bye.